Father, we thank you for this man. He's important to my heart. He's important to my wife's heart. And he's important to right here at Wellsprings family. He's important. And Father, you've chosen him for this moment. You've chosen him for this hour. Now, Father, we ask that you anoint him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And Father, that we just ask, Lord God, that we open our ears this morning to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to tell us. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, and we just ask that this man is hidden behind your cross and that you have planted a hedge of protection around him that is higher than the enemy's ways. And Father, now lower him down in your storehouse with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he may preach your word.
Well, good morning, church. Ah, come on. We can do better than that. Come on now. Good morning, church. All right. That's a little bit better. I can't tell you what an honor and a privilege it is to be here speaking with you today as Pastor Mike and the rest of the team are in Kenya. For all of those who don't know, they have made it safely. We got the text probably around Thursday, around 3 o'clock, that they are there. And I'm sure by now Fred has already started putting them to work. And I can't tell you how humble I am to be here today as the co-founder of Fred's Kids and our pastor be on a trip in Migori, Kenya with Fred right now as we speak. It is a very, very humbling and a very, very cool experience to be here today. So I want to thank Mike, even though he's in Africa, I want to thank him for this opportunity. I'm kind of old school, so I'm going to ask everyone to stand up for me if you don't mind. And we're going to go to Galatians for our verse today. We're going to read numerous verses, but this is kind of where I'm coming from today, and we're going to have it up on the screen for you. I want us to read this together as a church as the best as we can. You know, I'll try to make it one voice if we can. But bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's say that one more time together. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Before you sit down real quick, I want you to turn at least two or three people around you, and I want you to tell them the title of this message today. I want you to turn to two or three people and say, I got your back. I got your back. Even if they look at you like you're crazy, tell them, I got your back. Even if they don't like you, you tell them, I got your back. That's what we do here at Wellspring. We got each other's backs. That's what we do here. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. You know, when Mike approached me about doing this message and he kind of got the green light to go to Kenya, I was meeting with him in his office and he said, hey, I have a date open that I would really like for you to teach on, and would you be interested? And it kind of caught me off guard. And the first thing was, well, as long as I can strap my guitar to the front of me and hold the mic stand up, I'm good, because that's what I'm used to. But I didn't tell him that, but that's definitely what I was thinking. But I said, yeah, I would be honored. I would be honored. And he said, well, good. I want you to start thinking of some ideas, and I want you to start praying about what you feel like God wants you to say to our church. So I start thinking about it and start wrestling with it. And, you know, I led small groups and Bible studies before, and I've had some ideas and some different things jotted down, but nothing seemed to really clash. Nothing seemed to really mesh with what I felt like God was calling me to directly. And then this peace came upon me, and it came from Galatians. But a lot of times we know after peace comes conviction. Because when I read this verse, I'm going, I got people around me in my life every day with my family that are carrying a load that God's put on them, and I'm not doing my part to help them carry it. But there's two sides of this also, and especially being the side of being a man and pride being a big issue with us, is a lot of times I don't allow other people to come in and help me carry my own. We ever find ourselves doing that? We do it all the time. So the conviction knife hit me right in the heart. So we're going to come from a couple of different stories in the Bible, and we're going to look at some different characters in the Bible, and you'll see their names in the outline as we go down. But before we open that, I'm going to open us with a word of prayer. So if you'll bow with me, we'll go to our Heavenly Father, and I'll try to make the best of your time and won't keep you here till 2 o'clock. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, as Pastor Tate prayed earlier, God, that we're here, that we have breath in our lungs, that we can come here and worship you this morning, that we can give you honor and that we can give you praise, Lord.
And God, I just pray today that when we leave these doors, Lord, that we'd be a church that carries one another's burdens, God, that we don't come here and we try to do it on our own, but we know that we're here for each other, and God has each one of us here for a specific purpose. God, we're here to give you the honor and the glory, and all people say in the name of Jesus, amen. So if you have your Bible, I hope you do. If you don't, if you have a tablet and a smartphone, I'm going to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 17 with me. Exodus chapter 17. If you don't have that, we have it up on the screen for you. And we're going to start off at verse 8. Now, this is right after Moses has just led the Hebrew people out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. So we're going to start with verse 8. Everybody there? Almost? Getting close? All right. Good deal. All right. So verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Moses did as Joshua told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now whenever Moses held his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. If we believe that's God's word this morning, can I get an amen? Amen. Under your notes, I'm not like Pastor Mike. I don't have the organization and skill that he has to put all the outlines. So I got a little box for you if you want to write something in. If you don't want to write it, it won't hurt my feelings, trust me. But point number one of my message today is we have each other's backs by taking the initiative of Aaron and Hur. Now we see the story starts with Moses, and we think Moses is one of the greatest biblical characters in the Old Testament. We know he is. God has done tremendous things through Moses, but in this particular story, I find the heroes of being Aaron and Hur. Now, we pick up in a conversation that Moses is having with Joshua. Moses has a revelation from God, and Moses is delivering it to Joshua. Notice Moses isn't even speaking to Aaron, and he's not even speaking to Hur. He's speaking to Joshua, and he's saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go up on top of the hill, and I'm going to raise the staff, the same staff that parted the Red Sea, the same staff that turned into a serpent, the same staff that just a few verses before this struck a rock and millions of gallons of water pour up from the earth. Same staff. I'm going to go up here, and I'm going to hold it up, and Joshua, you're going to go do your thing, and you're going to knock these people down. Deal? Sounds good, right? If all of us were in Joshua's positions, we wouldn't have to have anything else told to us. Moses has the staff of God. He's going up on the hill. This is a done deal, right? Right? But here's the key to it, is God didn't tell Moses how long he was going to have to keep his arms in the air. And God didn't tell Moses that if he lowered his arms, his men would begin to die. God didn't reveal that to him at all. So what we have here is Moses is up on the hill, and he's up here, and it's early morning, the battle's just beginning, and Moses has got his arms up, and everything's going well. Joshua and his men, they're doing their thing. They're knocking the Amalekites back row after row after row after row. But a little bit of time goes by, and you got Hur standing over here, and he's looking out, and he's looking over his men, and he kind of peeks back, and he looks at Aaron. He goes, Aaron, man, I just lost about 25 guys. And Aaron's standing over here, and he goes, man, I just lost about 30 over here. And they really don't realize what's going on, because God didn't reveal to them that if Moses' hands started to drop, that people were going to start to die. And they kind of look over, and they see Moses like this, and he's, because at this time, Moses is 80 years old. Aaron's around 84. Hur is their brother-in-law. He's married to their sister Miriam. He's probably around the same age, too. But what happens is Moses rests for a minute, catches a second wind, and the hands go back up, right? everything starts going back according to plan. Joshua and his guys, they start doing their thing again. They start knocking it back. But next thing you know, Hur's looking out again, and he's starting to see more of his men fall and more of his men fall. And then Aaron's reporting that more of his men over here are falling too. And then the next thing you know, they kind of have that light bulb that goes off. You ever had that point in your life where you make eye contact with someone else and the same thought goes off at the same time, and you're like, ting, right? They had the observation to realize that Moses could not carry this burden by himself, but yet they took the initiative to sit him down on the rock and hold both of his arms until Joshua overcame the Amalekites. Sometimes we have to be observant enough to realize when brothers and sisters in our church are carrying a burden that they can't carry, that we have to step in and take the initiative, because sometimes they just don't have time to ask you for help. Sometimes they don't have time to ask you for help. Moses is hurting so bad. I don't know if you've ever tried to hold your arms up for a long period of time. I know the strength and conditioning coach of Alabama does it. If you watch an Alabama football game, he's got his arms up in the air the entire fourth quarter. I tried to do that one time. I made it through about the first 3 minutes. It's miserable. Trying to do that all day, though, Moses has different things going on, and Moses is so preoccupied with his burden at that moment, he doesn't even realize that the lowering of his hands is causing his people to die. But it was the observation of Aaron and Hur to step in and take the initiative to come in and help Moses. Now, Moses was a great leader, but here's something else that was part two of what I was talking about earlier. Moses was a great leader, but great leaders also allow others around them to help them carry their loads. Great leaders allow other people to help them carry their burdens. I don't care how strong you are. Moses has done, like we said, incredible things. But this time, we don't see Moses say, no, don't touch me. God has called me to this. I got to carry this burden by myself. No. Y'all got to get off the hill. Because if that were the case, God wouldn't have sent Aaron and Hur on top of the hill with him in the first place. A lot of you are here right now, and a lot of you are a member of this church right now because you're in a season of life where you're supposed to have the strength to carry someone else's arms and hold their arms up. Or maybe you're in the season of life where you can't pick them up and you're here because somebody else needs to hold them up. We all come from different places, but we all need to be observant enough to realize when a brother is in need and a brother is struggling that sometimes you don't have to ask. You just have to take the initiative and step out on faith and just say, you know what, man, I know this isn't a lot of fun, but I'm here with you. A lot of times, though, we think burdens are just something that's big and heavy. We think of it as these catastrophic events. I don't think a lot of times burdens are catastrophic events. I believe small burdens can grow into bigger burdens, which lead into catastrophic events. But take Michael and David, for instance. They're in Kenya. And we know how grass grows in Alabama in June. We know how it grows. And they're going to be over there for 2 weeks, right? And then with that monsoon that we had yesterday and the rain that we're going to have today, you know that grass is going to be going. What kind of burden would it be on David when he gets back and that grass is this high and he's got the notice on his door from the homeowners association saying, if you don't have your grass cut in the next 24 hours, we're going to fine you $300. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, does it? Something that small doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But in physical part of it, this right here doesn't seem like a big deal either, does it? It doesn't take a whole lot of effort for me to do this. It didn't take a whole lot of effort for Aaron and Hur to hold Moses' arms up. It just took the initiative. I'm going to pick on Micah a little bit. Micah's my buddy. And me and Micah share a lot of common things together. For you, those of you who don't know, Micah's our worship leader. He's our youth pastor. Micah sings in a cool rock band that travels all around and they bring the people to Jesus through their music. But more importantly, Micah's a father. More importantly, Micah's a husband. And I know that me and Micah share a lot of the same burdens because we know what it's like to have a one-year-old running around your house just tearing it down. But at the same time, we know what it's like because most of the time we're so busy, our wives are the ones having to do it. Now, we wouldn't think of something being that difficult like this to carry the burden off of Micah, But how easy does this sound if I say, Micah, look, man, I know where you're at, dude, and I know what it feels like, and I know I go days sometimes without even having a true conversation with Elizabeth. I know it. I know what it feels like. And a lot of times when you go that amount of time from having that burden of work and jobs and being up here at the church all the time, you miss that time that you have with your spouse. And that creates a whole other burden in itself. So what I do is I come to Mike and I say, you know what, dude, you tell me what night this week that you and Steph want to go out. And we got Dorian. We got him. You ain't got to pay for a babysitter. You go out. You have dinner with your bride. You enjoy your time together. And don't worry about the baby, man. We'll lock the two babies in the room, let them play ball, do whatever they need to do. But sometimes we just got to take the initiative to realize when other people are struggling. But sometimes it's not always a physical burden, is it, Darlene? Sometimes it's not always a physical burden. Sometimes we bring in spiritual burdens. When you come in here to worship and there's days where you're defeated and you're beat down and the enemy has you pressed down that you don't want to raise your hands. I've been there. I'm just being honest. I've been there. But it could be something as simple as you coming up to this prayer altar and your knees are on the altar and you're sitting here and you're defeated and you're saying, God, I don't know what to say. I'm hurting. And to be honest with you, I don't even want to praise you right now. All right, can we be honest with ourselves? Have all of us been there? Have we been there? But what happens when I'm like that and Pastor Tatum comes and lays his hand on my shoulder and he prays the prayer that I needed to say, I just couldn't find the words to say it. All that's doing is holding my arms up in a spiritual manner. So Pastor Tatum comes alongside me and he says, man, I know you're hurt and man, I know you're broken and I know you don't feel like worshiping God today, but God has got me in a season of strength. So I'm going to use my strength to lift your arms and Micah's going to be on this side and he's going to use his strength to lift this arm and we're going to do this thing together. We have to be a church that takes the initiative of Aaron and her. And notice this, we may not get rid of the burden instantly. There's some burdens that you can't get rid of instantly. There may be a brother in the church that has cancer. I can't cure cancer. But there may also be another brother in the church who's going through the same thing you're going through, who can give you words of encouragement that can say, man, I know you don't feel like going to the store today. I'm going to go for you. Or, man, I know you just had treatment and you don't feel like cutting your grass today. I'm going to do it for you. There's certain things that we can do that lift burdens off one another that can make us come together and be a body and be part of Christ's kingdom in unity so much easier if we just step out and take the initiative that Aaron and her took. We're going to flip over a few chapters to 1 Samuel chapter 14. So I'll give you a little bit of time to go over there. 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we're going to read every bit of it, so you're going to have to bear with me on this. I know y'all thinking, God, this long verse, you know. This guy's reading this long verse. But we're going to start at chapter 6, and we're going to start with a character that Pastor Mike spoke on a couple of weeks ago. His name's Jonathan. How many of y'all remember Jonathan? Jonathan's one of my favorites, man. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you. All right, so 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. Then Jonathan said, behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. I mean, they're comparing these people to prairie dogs. They're just making fun of them right in front of their face. And then the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. At that first strike, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, killed about 20 men within, as it were, a half furrow's length in an acre of land. Before I give you this second point, I just want to address the youth in here real quick. I know there's not a lot of you in here today, and I know you're over here. Whether you're in junior high school or you're in high school, don't let anyone tell you because you're young you can't do great things for God. Don't let anybody tell you because you don't have a lot of experience that you can't do great things for God. And don't let anyone make you believe that lie. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to speak to the adults in here too today. Just because a brother or sister doesn't have a lot of knowledge in Scripture in the church, or just because a brother and sister doesn't have a lot of experience in the church, or just because a brother and sister is in the youth group here in the church, doesn't mean God can't put them alongside you to do great things. Don't write somebody off because they're young, and don't write somebody off because they don't have a lot of experience. We're dealing with an armor bearer here who doesn't have a lot of experience, and it's clearly written that he's young. I believe that is there for a reason. But point number two, and if you want to write this under the armor bearer, we have each other's backs by having the loyalty of the armor bearer. We have each other's backs by having the loyalty of the armor bearer. Think about it in today's terms. Jonathan's mission seems absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. I'm going to come up to you and say, "Hey man, look. My dad, King Saul, and 600 men are hiding in a pomegranate cave because they're scared. And they're going to stay there. And me and you, we're going to sneak out tonight. And what we're going to do, the Lord's laid this on my heart. And what we're going to do is we're going to go up to them and we're going to show ourselves to them. And if they say, 'Y'all come over here,' that means God has given us the green light and we're going to go just wipe them out." Just go wipe them out. Now, I compare this to myself and I go, no matter how young I am or inexperienced I am or how experienced I am, I'm going to have some questions. I'm going to be like, "Jonathan, how many of them are there? What kind of weapons do they have? Jonathan, what kind of weapons do you have? Are you having some kind of depression kick? Is this some kind of suicide mission, dude? I mean, what are we dealing with here, man?" But we see in the text, the armor bearer replies, "Do all that is in your heart. I'm with you heart and soul." Yeah, the armor bearer worked for Jonathan, but that's not a response from a man because he works for somebody. That's a response from a man because he loves him. The armor bearer trusted Jonathan and believed Jonathan's relationship with God was strong enough that he could follow him anywhere. That he could follow him anywhere. He knew that Jonathan clearly loved him and the armor bearer clearly loved Jonathan. Let me ask you this, church. Do we have enough loyalty to one another that we can love each other like that? I'm going to speak to the ladies in here. Do you trust your husband enough to lead your family in a way that Jonathan's leading this armor bearer, that you would follow him into impossible situations? It seems crazy sometimes, but sometimes God calls us out on leaps of faith that we just don't understand. Sometimes you just got to go. That's why it's called faith. You know, a lot of times, though, we don't step out. It's not because we don't have the courage. It's not because we're not physically able to do it. Not because we don't know how to do it. Sometimes we're just selfish. And then there's other times that we're lazy. I feel like I'm giving y'all confession here this morning, but just bear with me. Earlier this week, probably around Monday or Tuesday, my wife calls me and she lets me know that she asked me to help her sister move this weekend. But anyway, I was asked very politely, how about that, to help her sister move into her new apartment on Saturday. But at the time, I didn't know when it was. So I asked her, I said, "Well, when is she wanting to move?" And she said, "Well, Saturday around 1 o'clock. And instantly, my thought process goes into my flesh. And I started thinking, I can't go help your sister move. Pastor Mike's on the other side of the world, and he's over there in Africa, and he's left me here, and I got to preach this message on Wellspring, and I got to be prepared, and I got to be at home going over my notes so I don't sound like a fool in front of all these people tomorrow, and I can't do it. And then it's just all of a sudden I kind of get that. Pun intended, Jacob, practice what you preach, is what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. How can I come here and share with you a word on carrying one another's burdens when I wasn't even willing to do it for my own family? How can I do that? It wasn't the fact that I wasn't physically able to do it. It wasn't the fact that I was scared to help Natalie move into an apartment. It was the fact that I put myself before I put a burden of my sister-in-law. And it's funny how God works. I got a little scar to remember this story with me when I smashed my finger on that 600-pound treadmill we were moving up the stairs yesterday. It's funny. You're laughing at my pain. Y'all should feel bad for yourselves laughing at my pain. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. If we're not loyal to one another in times of need, the church won't stand. Because a lot of times, how many times have you found yourself making an excuse to get out of something that somebody's asked you to help them with? Hello, I told you I'm in confession today. Come on. Come on. And sometimes we'll even bold-face a lot of people to get out of something. I mean, just off-the-wall stuff. Somebody calls you and says, brother, man, I'm going to a bad part of town to share the good news with somebody. And it's sketch, man, and I really need your help. Will you go with me? And you're like, man, I got to paint the couch. You got to paint the couch. See, and at that point, he already knows. He already knows you're lying to him. So what happens then? He's going to write you off. And you know how we are in church people. We talk. And he's going to find out that not only did you write him off, but nobody's going to trust you. And then you become finding yourself actually a virus in your own community. Your loyalty to one another speaks volumes about your character, and it speaks volumes about your church. You know, I know we get knocked around a little bit because we're a small church. We're not First Baptist, or we're not Center Point, and we're not a 10,000 member church. But I'm here to encourage you today, church. It don't take a 10,000 member church to change a community. It don't take a 500 member church to change a community. What does the Bible say? Where two or more are gathered, what? Where two or more are gathered, what? We have to be loyal to one another if we want to make a difference, not only in Wellspring, but if we want to make a difference in the world. We're going to flip over to the New Testament. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. I promise this is a short verse. Y'all are like, oh, praise Jesus. This guy ain't reading half a book up here. And we're going to come across a man named Simon of Cyrene. I'm pretty sure a lot of you know who this man is. And Luke chapter 23, verse 26 reads, as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. Can you imagine what that feeling would be like? Just think about it for a minute, church, that you're carrying the cross of Jesus. I can't comprehend it. So my third point would be we have each other's backs by having the grace of Simon of Cyrene. We have each other's backs by having the grace of Simon of Cyrene. Now you say, well, how was Simon gracious? We have to understand what was going on in the trial of Jesus. Passover was getting ready to start. And a lot of scholars believe, even though Simon was from Cyrene, which is now Libya, a lot of scholars do believe Simon, in fact, was a devout Jew. And that he was coming in to take part of Passover. He was coming in to Jerusalem. But what we see here is we see Simon of Cyrene does not even have a clue who Jesus is. He's never been in Jerusalem that we know of. He's never been in Nazareth that we know of. He's never been in Galilee. Simon doesn't know who Jesus is, but when he's on the road, he finds out that Jesus is a man charged with blasphemy against God by Jewish officials. And Simon himself is a Jew. And the second thing that we see here with Simon is that Jesus, as we know as Scripture tells us, was beaten so badly that blood was all over that cross. Which what? That makes Simon unclean. That makes Simon unclean. And Simon's very purpose of the trip was to be there for Passover. But Simon shows grace, and there's just this scene in the Passion of the Christ where they interlock eyes. I know a lot of you have seen this movie. You know this part I'm talking about. When they look at each other in the face, and Simon gets it. And Simon just gets it. But what Simon didn't even realize, and what I didn't realize until I really read this story, is Simon was carrying his own burdens as he was carrying the cross of Jesus, because Jesus was carrying Simon's shame and his sin and his burdens to Calvary. But the beautiful thing of this is Simon didn't carry the cross of Jesus out of Jesus' weakness. I'm going to say that again to you. I want you to hear me on this. Simon did not carry the cross of Jesus out of Jesus' weakness. Because at any point in time, Jesus could have said, I had enough. That cross could have incinerated, and every Roman centurion within 500 miles could have hit the floor. Jesus didn't have to be baptized by John the Baptist. But why did he do it? To set an example for us. And what was the first verse we read today? Galatians 6:2. We fulfill the law of Jesus by carrying one another's burdens. Jesus was setting a perfect example to Simon by being humble enough to allow Simon to carry his cross. You know, sometimes when we find ourselves in the Simon moments of carrying burdens, it can get pretty dirty, right? Sometimes carrying people's burdens doesn't look very clean, especially when they're in your family or they're in your church and people see you all the time. Sometimes it doesn't look good. I know a story of a 19-year-old girl that grew up in a Christian home and was raised by Christian parents, and she comes to find out that she's pregnant at 19 and she's not married, and she comes home and she sees her daddy, and she breaks the news to him, and she says, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've never had a baby. I don't know how to raise a baby. And he said, well, honey, I raised you. But, Daddy, I don't have nowhere to go. I don't have a house. You can live here. But what are people at the church? What are people at the church going to say when I walk in with this big belly? Baby, it don't matter. I still love you. But, Daddy, when he grows up, how am I going to afford daycare? Baby, don't worry about it. I got you. But I got all these. Shh. Let me help you with this. The little boy grows up, and the grandpa picks him up from school, and the grandpa picks him up from baseball practice, and the grandpa begins to teach him God's word and begins to instruct him in the ways of the Lord. And that grandpa is mine, Wayne Maynor. And that little boy is the man up here delivering this message to you today. God can take the ugliness of your cross-carrying burdens and turn it into something beautiful and make it something glorious for his kingdom. Don't believe just because something's messy right now that God's not going to give it a beautiful ending. Don't believe that at all. But I want to close with you today. No matter how many burdens we carry, there's only one who can carry them all. Jesus is our ultimate burden carrier. Now, just like we spoke about earlier, Moses stood on top of a hill with a piece of wood in his hands and his arms stretched wide, interceding for the people of Israel. Our Lord was crucified on top of a hill to a piece of wood with his arms stretched wide, interceding on our behalf. You know, sometimes when hurts won't go away, when pain won't go away, when nothing seems to work, when no matter how long our brother and sisters help you carry the burden, you still can't shake it. Jesus says, lay it here, son. Lay it here. A lot of times, we're too prideful. We'll say, no, God, I'm too ashamed to do this, God. God says, son, give me your shame. But Lord, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Matthew 11:28, y'all know this too well. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we come to the cross, church, and we give Jesus our burdens, he takes us by the hand and he pulls us up and he says, don't worry, son, I got your back. I got your back. Maybe there's some of us in today that you feel like no one's got your back. Maybe you're not even really sure who Jesus is. Maybe people in the church have hurt you your entire life. All you've known of people in church are hypocrites and people that just leave you by yourself. We're not going to be that church, people. We're not going to be that church. We're going to be the church that holds one another's arms up when we don't have the strength to hold them. We're going to be the church that goes into impossible places where nobody else wants to go. We're going to be this church that shows grace and turns something that looks like a mess into something beautiful. If you'll pray with me. Father God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for your son. We thank you for his sacrifice. And God, when we find ourselves wandering in the desert, Lord, like the people of Israel, God, I pray that we find ourselves running to the cross, running to lay our burdens and our worries and our weakness at your feet, God. Because we know, Lord, that you make all things new. So, Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here today, anybody that has a burden that they haven't laid down, Pastor Tatum is going to be up here. I'm going to be up here. If there's something in your heart that you've just been hurt by, maybe something a church has done to you, it may be something that a brother or sister in here has done to you. Lord, I pray that you just convict their hearts. God, just to give it away and start new, Lord. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the glory. And it is in your son's name, in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
to your heart, to your heart, leap to your heart, leap to your cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. To my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Lift me up myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. Everything. Yeah.